بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation on the salah described, and we're still talking about the situations of the imam and the ma'moom. And the imam is the one who leads the prayer, and the ma'moom is the one who is led in the prayer. And it does not mean that he is the one who is necessarily behind. That's true, but the meaning of being led is more comprehensive, because there will be situations where some people may stay praying next to the imam, to his right. So therefore, to say though the ma'moom is the one who is led in the prayer is more comprehensive and more perfect than just saying those who are praying behind the imam. Now the situation of some of the situations today will begin with the imama, the leading of the prayer, by an ummi. Ummi, this term ummi is in relation to al-umm. Al-umm is the mother. And when the person is delivered from the womb of his mother, then he comes out knowing nothing. So, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 78, قال الله تعالى وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لا تعلمون شيئا والله أخرجكم من بطون أمهاتكم لا تعلمون شيئا. And Allah has brought you out from the wombs of your mothers while you know nothing. And He gave you hearing, sight, and hearts that you may give thanks. Linguistically, the term ummi is the one who doesn't know how to read and how to write. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was described as being an ummi, as in Surah Al-Jumu'ah, verse 2. هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم. He, Allah, is who sent among the unlettered ones, al-ummi, unlettered, doesn't know how to read and to write. Yes. A messenger from amongst themselves, reciting to them the verses, purifying them from disbelief and polytheism. And in Surah Al-A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his messenger and prophet and ummi, unlettered. 7:158, قال الله تعالى فآمنوا بالله ورسوله النبي الأمي. And believe in Allah and His messenger, the prophet who can neither read nor write. Yeah. This is the linguistic meaning and the origin of the term ummi, the one who can neither read nor write. Now, with respect to the technicality or the Islamic terminology, Al-Ummi is the one who does not know the recitation of the Fatiha. Does not know the recitation of the Fatiha, meaning he cannot recite it neither from memory nor from direct recitation. Even though he may be able to recite the entire Quran accept the Fatiha, then he is still considered an Ummi. This is the technical definition. Is that clear? As to who is the Ummi. Even if he knows the entire Quran except the recitation of the Fatiha, and knowing it, then he is considered an Ummi. Okay. And the Fatiha is the surah we know of. And it's called the Fatiha, which means the opening, because the Quran is opened by this chapter. And it has other meanings. And for those of you who need to know more about the Fatiha and its meanings, there is an article we have on the site where you can find an explanation of the verses of this surah al-Fatiha. So, if someone therefore leads the prayers and he is an ummi who cannot read the Fatiha, neither from memory nor by way of recitation, or he contracts in it the letters, contracting that which should not be contracted, and contraction which is called idgham in Arabic, contraction which is called idgham in Arabic, is of two types, major and minor. So if you contract a letter with the like, then this is minor. And if you contract a letter with that which is close to it, then this is major. And if you contract a letter, with another letter that's not close to it, nor it resembles it, then this is an error. Like, for example, Alhamdu lirabbil alameen. In this case, there is contraction of the letter ha with the letter ra. You understand? Let me repeat the wording. Alhamdu lirabbi alameen, instead of alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Okay? Here, there is a contraction of the ha with the ra. This is incorrect idgham. Why? Because the ha is far from resembling or being close to the ra. So this reciter, if he recites it in this way, he is an ummi. Then he is an ummi. Even if he cannot recite it except in this way, then he is still considered, therefore, an ummi. Why? Because if he contracts that which cannot be contracted in this way, then he drops this letter which he contracted. Is that clear? He drops it. Because he is contracting a letter with another which, you know, they don't contract. However, if he contracts close letters, like idgham, like the idgham, the contraction of the letter ad-dal with the letter jim. Okay? Qad ja'akum. Qad ja'akum. Qad ja'akum. You see? There is even a recitation of the Quran. One of the recitations, known recitations. So in this case, he is not considered to be an ummi. He is not considered to be an ummi. But we should know that there is no dal and jim in the Fatiha. There is no qad ja'akum in the Fatiha. But just to illustrate the point. Also, if he replaces or substitutes, literally, ummi means unlettered. Literally, as we explained earlier, linguistically. You understand? But technically, Islamically, is the one who is not able to recite the Fatiha, either from memory or directly. So if he also substitutes a letter for another letter, so therefore if he replaces the Ra, the letter Ra, if he replaces it with the letter Lam, so he makes the Ra Lam. Like for example, if he recites Alhamdulillahi instead of Rabbi, he says Labbil Alameen. Are you following? Then in this case he is Ummi, because he drops a letter from the Fatiha. Because he drops a letter from the Fatiha. There is an exception for this particular one, is that if he replaces the letter Da with the letter Dha. Dha and Dha. This is forgivable. This is pardoned. Because the difference between the two is very fine. Especially if he is a common person. Normally the common person, or usually the common person, does not differentiate between the Dha and the Dha. So if he reads غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين instead of غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين, then he replaced the ضه with ضه. This is pardonable because it's difficult to differentiate, especially from amongst the awam. So in this case he is not considered an ummi. So therefore the substitution is substituting a letter with another letter which does not resemble it. Then if this occurs in the Fatiha, then this Imam is an Ummi. If he replaces a letter with that which is close to, like the Dad with the Dha, this is pardoned. Third, if he replaces the Saad with the seed, like for example, instead of saying as-sirat or saying as-sirat, he says as-sirat. This is permissible. Rather, this should be recited sometimes, because this is one of the seven recitations. And we should know that doing sometimes some of the seven recitations is okay. However, there is a condition. Not in front of the common Muslims. Because if you recite it in front of the common Muslim, and they don't know that, they will denounce it. And they will confuse them. Is that clear? Also, the Ummi is the one who makes lahn in the recitation, meaning he modulates, he changes in a way that changes the meaning. So he modulates the movements of the word. If this modulation or this change can cause a change of the meaning of the text or the word, then this person is called an Ummi regarding the Fatiha. And if that does not change the meaning, then he is not an Ummi. So if he recites Alhamdulillahi Rabbal Alameen, making a fatha on the letter ba in the title Rabb, Alhamdulillahi Rabbal Alameen, this lahn, this changing of the movement, does not change the meaning. You understand? So So can we consider him therefore an ummi? Is he considered an ummi? No. Then in this case he is not considered an ummi. So therefore it is permissible for him to be an imam, leading someone who knows how to recite. That's okay. That's okay. It's permissible since he is not an ummi. Now, if he recites instead of اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, listen carefully. If instead of reciting اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, he recites it in the following manner. He changes the movement on the alif and it becomes اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. You see the difference in اهدنا and in اهدنا. Putting the fatha on, or putting this hamza, the hamza, instead of saying ihdina, he recites ahdina. This changes the meaning, because ahdina is from ihda, giving gifts, and the other one, the original one, ihdina, means lead us, give us success. Also, if he recites and says iyyaki na'bud instead of iyyaka na'bud, so he puts a kasra under the kaf, iyyaki instead of iyyaka, this is a strong changing of the meaning, and therefore he is an ummi. Similarly, if he recites صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم, صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم, you see the difference between أنعمت عليهم and أنعمت. In making the dhamma أنعمت, he changes the meaning. It is like he is the one who is bestowing the favors, right? Instead of Allah. So this changes the meaning. So he is considered an ummi. On the other hand, if he recites instead of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, he recites it with إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدَ, having fatha on the ba, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدَ. This does not change the meaning. Similarly, إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, having fatha on the noon, on the second noon, إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. This does not change the meaning. However, this does not mean that it is permissible to recite the fatiha in this changed and modulated form. It is not permissible to make such lahn, even though it does not change the meaning. However, what we are talking about now is the validity of the salah. The validity of the salah. You see the difference? So we want to differentiate now. It's not permissible to make these lahn, whether they change the meaning or they don't change the meaning, but the issue we are talking about is the validity of the salah. So, if an ummi who doesn't know the fatiha leads another ummi, then his salah is valid because they are on equal footing with respect to the defect. Now, what about if an ummi prays, leads the salah, leading a reciter? We have two sayings regarding this. The first opinion, that it is not valid. The first opinion is that it is not valid. And those who invalidated his salah, they based it on the argument that the ma'moom is of a higher status than the imam. So how could it then, it cannot be allowed for this situation to have the ma'moom in a higher rank over the imam, imam being of a lower rank because of his defect. Okay, this is one opinion. The second opinion, and it is a narration from Imam Ahmad, that it is sahih, his salah is valid, meaning for the ummi to lead someone who recites. However, one should avoid it because it contains some kind of opposition to the saying of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the one who leads the people in the salah is the one who is most knowledgeable of the, in the book of Allah. And therefore, taking this consideration, one should avoid it. What about the person who frequently makes lahn? What about the person who frequently makes lahn? Changing the movements on the words, whether they change the meaning or not. But we are talking about a person who frequently does this. So if he does it in the Fatiha and it changes the meaning, then he is ummi. And if his frequent changes occur in other than the Fatiha, then the validity of his salah is okay, but it is disliked. Also, what about if the person is known to repeat a certain letter? There are people who repeat, for example, the letter fa, al-fa, and this is called in Arabic al-fa-fa'a. Al-fa-fa'a. They repeat al-fa, meaning if he utters the letter fa, he repeats it. Also, this is disliked. Also, the other one who repeats the letter ta, at-ta, he's known, in Arabic he's known as at-tam-tam. And also there are people who repeat the letter waw and other letters. So those who repeat the letters, then it is disliked for them to lead the prayer because they add a letter. It is disliked. However, if he leads the prayer, then in terms of the validity of the salah, then his imama is valid. Okay, what about the person who does not clearly pronounce? What about the person who does not clearly pronounce some of the letters? It doesn't mean that he drops them. And we know that if he drops them in his salah, he drops these letters from the Fatiha in his salah, then his salah is invalid. So if he does not clearly pronounce them, and not dropping them, then it is disliked for him to lead the prayers. What about the imam who does not recite in accordance with the rulings of Tajweed? We know that it is not disliked for someone to recite without Tajweed. as long as his recitation is free from the errors we have mentioned earlier. And tajweed is intended to, is from the angle of the beautification of the voice and the recitation of the Quran, and it is not mandatory. Tajweed is not mandatory. So if the person recites it in order to beautify, uses the tajweed in order to beautify his voice, then this is good. And if he doesn't, then there is no harm upon him, and there is no sin upon him. Rather, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah held those who concentrate and focus on the verbal utterance, held them blameworthy. In some cases they may repeat the word twice or thrice in order for them to bring it in a way that fits or agrees with the rulings of tajweed, and they forget or are negligent about the meaning and contemplating the Quran. He considered this to be blameworthy. And we have many of them, unfortunately, amongst Muslims who are just like that. They concentrate on the utterances of the beatification of the voice and the recitation of the Quran without giving the due attention to its to contemplating it and to its meaning. Is that clear now so far with respect to the letters and their pronunciations and the lahn? The lahn, yes. Okay, then we move to another case. What about a situation if an imam leads a woman, one single woman, in salah? We have two situations. If this is done in seclusion, he and her alone, then this is haram. This is forbidden. That is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith in al-Bukhari and Muslim forbade the man to have seclusion with an unrelated woman. One whom he can non-mahram, yes, who can marry. And if there is no seclusion, then the other opinion is that it is disliked. And in case of seclusion, it is forbidden, because that which leads to haram, then itself is haram. What about if he leads more than one woman? Is it disliked? Now, what about if he's leading more than one woman? If he's leading more than one woman, non-mahram, then the seclusion now is negated. And therefore, if the person is trustworthy, then there is no harm for him leading them. And this may occur sometimes in some masajid, in some mosques, where the congregation is composed of few people. Especially during the night prayers in Ramadan, the person comes to the masjid and does not find men there, but may find two women, three or four, in the back of the masjid. One opinion that it is disliked for him to lead them in salah. However, the correct opinion is that this is not disliked. That is because there is no seclusion, unless he fears fitna. Unless he fears fitna. So if he fears the fitna, then it is haram. That is because that which is a means for haram is haram. Clear also on this one? Inshallah. Okay. Another situation of the Imam and the Ma'mum. If he leads people, most of them dislike him in a just way. They dislike him justly. They justly dislike him. Most of them. Most of them dislike for him to lead them. According to one opinion, this is disliked. And they based it upon the following hadith. In this hadith, ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا تُجَاوِزُ صَلَاتُهُمْ آذَانُهُمْ. Three persons whose salah does not go or ascend above their ears. And they are the slave who runs away from his master, and the woman who goes to sleep and her husband is angry at her, and a man who leads people in prayer while they dislike him. Some of the people of knowledge consider this hadith to be da'if, weak. And if it to be considered as sahih, as some of the scholars authenticated it, if we were to take it as sahih, then this would be an evidence for the invalidity of his salah, because it doesn't ascend beyond his ears, though it's not accepted. And that's why, since the situation of the hadith is as you heard, some of the scholars resorted to consider this to be makruh, disliked. And the great scholar Ibn Muflih, rahimahullah, said that if the hadith is da'if and it is a forbiddance, a prohibition meaning, then it should be carried upon being a matter that is disliked. But he concluded this with the condition that the degree of weakness of the hadith must not be strong, and that in the case if it concludes or it denotes a command, then it should be carried upon to be a praiseworthy matter. So because of this situation of weakness of this hadith, then there is no entailment for the conclusion. Time. This brings another point. What about if all the people led dislike him? Then by all means, if most of them do, then if all of them do, then by all means. What about if they dislike him because he is keen upon the sunnah in salah? So he recites chapters that are recommended to recite in the Sunnah, and he leads them in a Salah with contemplation and no rushing. Then some of the scholars mention that his imamah is not disliked, because they or them, they led, disliking him is unjust. So therefore there is no consideration for their disliking of him. The other opinion is that it says that if the hadith is authentic, which we mentioned earlier, then the obviously understood meaning of the hadith that it is absolutely disliked under all circumstances. This is in making between the two situations of if the hadith is authentic, and between the position of the hadith being authentic and the position being weak, then the conclusion is that whether they dislike him justly or unjustly, then what is apparent from this narration is that it is dislike for him to lead them. And they argued that the purpose of the congregational prayer is harmony and congregation. And if this is the objective, then it is known that such harmony and gathering on one person, disliked with them, is not sound. And that if they dislike him unjustly, then he should admonish them and make them remember and lead them in the way described in the Sunnah. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows from his intention, he knows sincerity from his intention, that his intention is to gather them and having them on harmony in the Jama'ah, then Allah will make it easy for him. What about the validity of the imamah of a boy born from adultery? And what about the validity of the imamah of a policeman, court authority, if their deen is sound? The boy born of zina, is not attributed neither to the adulterer nor to the husband of the woman if she had a husband. So he has no legal father. But does he have a quote Abun Qadari? Qadari meaning universal, because we know things now of two types, right? Universal meaning pertaining to creation, to the creating. We know that matters are legal and what? Kauni, qadari, universal. Legal will and universal will. In the legal will, what is legalized, what is commanded and what is prohibited, what Allah commands and what He forbids, is liked to him, but it does not necessarily mean that it will be obeyed and followed by his slaves. This is legal. The other which pertains to the qadari or kauni will is that all things occur because Allah willed them to pass. They come to exist because Allah willed them to pass, and this does not necessarily mean that Allah loves them. You see the difference between the two. So here Allah willed for this boy to be born from adultery. But does Allah like adultery? You see the difference between the two? So therefore he has a qadari father, right? He has a qadari father, right? Qadari father. Not shari'i, not legal. Yes. Why? Because he is created from the semen of the man, right? Okay. So the boy from adultery may have a correct creed upright on the religion. So he will be like others. Therefore his imama is valid. And it is not disliked. It is not disliked. Because of the general meaning of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, the one who leads the people are the one who is most knowledgeable of the Quran, meaning keeping it to memory. What about the soldier, the policeman? Similarly, his imama is valid, and it is disliked. It's not disliked from a policeman. Although, even if he is in his uniform, even if he is in his military uniform, that is because he is a man from the Muslims. Rather, we say that he carries on an action which is a benefit, a general benefit. So, from this angle, he would be better than someone who does something which is only for himself. This is mentioned here. Why we mention this? Because some of the scholars dislike their imama. However, there is no reason and no substantiation for disliking their imama. And if one would come to argue and say, well, from this policeman or soldier, there could be difficulty upon people and sometimes injustice, the answer is this occurs from every person who has some kind of authority, even the teacher in his class, may target some of his students and be unjust to them, and may be soft and kind towards other students. So every person in authority is subject to carry on justice or injustice. So far clear, inshallah. Okay, then inshallah we'll stop here, and the next topic will be inshallah the imama and the two situations. An imam leading others while he is making up a missed prayer, and the opposite with respect to the ma'mumin. And what's the ruling on that? Similarly, we will talk about the imama of someone who is performing the fard and the ma'mum performing the nafil, and the way around. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This brings the end of this part of the imama and ma'mum. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it a benefit for myself and for all of you.